Today's Shi'ez Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Yudalid. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, Amad Beis, the three lines from the bottom, Vamar Rav Chisda. The Gemara, at the bottom line, Vamar Rav Chisda. In our previous Shi'ez, the Gemara had spoken about Shloshi and Nashim, three people, Shenichna Suluv Akras, Achayla, that came to visit a person who's not well, and the question is, the person is giving them instruction to about how to settle his matters, as the Gemara, as we explained in the previous year, and maybe a shchimera, a person who's very ill, and is giving instructions, or maybe even a person who's just giving instructions to people how to distribute his assets. And the Gemara said that if they came by day, they have a choice, that they could choose to be Dayanim on this matter, or they could choose to be Edim on this matter. But however, we learned, if they came by night, then the halacha is that they could only be, that as we begin to learn now, if they come by night, they could only be Edim, because as we discussed in our previous year, the division of assets of a person is considered a mishpat, a halachas of Yerusha considered a mishpat, considered like a din Torah, and a din Torah could only be conducted by day, not by night. So says the Gemara, therefore, Amar of Chizda Lo Shanu, this halacha that we're learning that they could choose to be Edim or Dayanim is El B'yoyim, only if they came by day where they could play one of those two roles. Ava B'layla, if they came in the evening, afilu shloisha, even though they are three, and three individuals can be a dayan, still the halach is kaisvin, they could only serve as edim, ve'enoisim din, they cannot serve as dayanim. Says the Gemara, my tama, what is the reason for this halacha? Because since they came at night, and at night, as we just finished explaining, we can't have a din Torah regarding anything, so therefore they immediately play the role of Edom. And since they play the role of Edom, the halacha is, and the Gemara teaches us now a new halacha, that ain aid nas a dayan. A person who's an aid cannot be a dayan. And once they definitely started off in the role of Edom, because as we just explained, they came by night when they couldn't be dayanim, they cannot revert to be dayanim. The Rishonim give many, many different explanations. Why do we have halacha of ein eid nas a dayan? One explanation is the pasuk says regarding a din Torah, v'am d'shnei anoshim shelohem ariv l'fnei Hashem, and the Gemara Masechta Shavuos Daf Lamed Amud Aleph teaches us, shnei anoshim means the two edim, l'fnei Hashem, they have to stand in front of the dayanim. And what the pasuk is teaching us, explains the Rashbam, that if they're playing the role of Edom, and the Edom say their Edus in front of the Dayanim, but the Edom themselves can only be Edom and not Dayanim. So, ask the Rishonim, we could understand that if they already played the role of Edom, they already said testimony, so that's why they can't be Dayanim. But what would be the halacha, even if we have this pasuk, that if they never acted in the role of Edom, why cannot be Dayanim? We don't have a problem that Edom can't become Dayanim. They were never Edom. Says the Ktzois, that one of the fundamental halachas about Edus is that Edus always has to be Edus Shatayochel Azimah. It has to be Edus that we could disqualify through Hazama process. And people who were so involved in this din Torah, they saw and heard, and they definitely have opinion, will never participate in letting these individuals become Edom Zayinim. And therefore, the halacha is that they cannot become the Dayanim. The Rabbi Chanan has a very different approach. Rabbi Chanan says that once somebody is identified as an aid, so says Rabbi Chanan, you can't wear two hats. And if you were identified as an aide, you must be an aide, and you could never. And the pasuk is teaching us, says Rabbi Chanan, that that individual can never become a dayan. Tosfos brings down the pshat of the Rashbam, Tosfos the Rimaskel of Avo, but he also says that he has a problem with what the Rashbam says, that it's Eidu Shatu Yachal Azima. He says, Eidim will not accept Hazama on themselves, but if they're not acting as Eidim, he doesn't understand. Tosfos gives a different explanation. The Ramban takes this explanation as well, that we learned this from the Halacha of Yerusha. The Pasuk speaks about Yerusha B'yoyim HaChinoi as Bonov. So he says, so the Torah says B'yoyim HaChinoi as Bonov, speaking to Dayonim to help facilitate this Yerusha. And the Torah is saying only Dayonim who heard by day can be Dayonim. These people, once they were part of this process by night, become permanently disqualified from being Dayonim. The Ramban gives another halacha, that another explanation, that an aide can't be a Dayan, because the first requirement of a Dayan is that he has to be impartial. But somebody like these individuals who are so involved in this case, we can't count on their impartiality. And because we can't count on their impartiality, says Tosfos, they're disqualified from being Dayonim. They can only be Edim. The question that comes up, according to the Ramban, according to this explanation, so why is it only because they were Edim because they saw at night? It's the same halacha should be that if they saw by day, where we've been learning they have a right to choose and to be an Ed or a Dayan, but if we're concerned that they lost their impartiality, they should not be able to have the right to become Dayanim under any circumstances. The Rashbam says that if they, as we're learning, the Rashbam's pshat is that if they saw by night, they can never become Dayanim. They could only be Edim. Tosfos says that the halacha will be that not only are Edim who saw testimony at night possible for becoming Dayanim, but says Tosfos, since the Din Torah, as we keep on repeating in our shir, has to be by day, if Beis Din began this Din Torah by night, says Tosfos, that will be a permanent disqualification. The Achronim ask why, if the Beis Din, if they saw by day, certainly according to the Rashbam, they can become Dayanim, but they can't be both Edim and Dayanim. And the question is, why not? Why is, as the Achronim will ask, like Tehei Shmiya Gedoyla Maria? Why, like they if they hear Edim, so if they hear from Edim, Beis Din can pass on a shaila. So why, if they actually saw it themselves, is that weak in their position? So Rav Shmuel Rozovsky said that how does a Beis Din work? So Rav Shmuel Rozovsky says a Beis Din works that you have three dayanim hearing the testimony of the two Edim. And the three Dayanim form a unit of being Dayanim. But says Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, if these Dayanim don't really have to hear testimony, so the hearing of the testimony, says Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, is what makes them into a unit of a Beis Din. But here, as we just explained, they don't have to hear any testimony because they already know everything. So there's no way of making them into a unit called a Beis Din. Chazanish explains that we, under normal circumstances, understand what is the role of Edim and what is the role of Dayanim. That the role of the Edim is to form the Dayanim of what happened. And then, based on their testimony, the Edim will know what to do. When the Dayanim themselves know what happened, So then the whole process that the Torah establishes of how a din Torah is supposed to operate, Dayanim hearing Edim, Dayanim questioning the Edim, that is a critical process and a critical procedure. And if it's missing, says the Chazon Ish, it can't be considered a din Torah. The Chiddush Arim says that, similar teretz, that the Torah says, Mishpat Hashavet L'Kulchem. All din day Torah have to be conducted in a similar manner. And since that it's a similar, this is not the way a din Torah normally is handled. A din Torah normally, as we understand, is Edom testifying, Dayanim listening. Once we're not following that type of din Torah, once we're not following it that way, then the halacha is that it's not considered din Torah. And of course, the simplest answer that is suggested is that what is the job of a dayan? The dayan walking into the bezdin has to be totally impartial. But a dayan who walks into a bezdin and already knows what happened, so of course he's lacking that impartiality. And because he's lacking that impartiality, that's why he's automatically disqualified from being a dayan. The pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'yefkoi v'koi v'yakein ish. So Rashi explains, what does that mean? Ro ma'aslo b'bayis, ma'aslo b'soda. And Rashi explains that this person had a relations with Eishes Ish, and in the field, he hit an ish every. So the Maskla David asks, why does the Torah have to go out of the way to tell us what Moshe Rabbeinu saw he did in the bayis and also what he did in the soda? Isn't the fact they had relations with an Eishes Ish enough of a reason that he's mechuyev misa? Even a ben noyach is obligated in the mitzvah of gilui arayis. So explains the Maskel Eisen. Even though certainly somebody who does a terrible aveira of gilui arayis is chayiv misa, we have to have the process. We have to have a process of a din Torah. Edim and a din Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu had seen what happened. Once Moshe Rabbeinu had seen what happened, Moshe Rabbeinu cannot be a dayan, because as our Gemara just taught us, ein eid nasa dayan. So what happened is that Bash Oslo Besada, what did he do in the Sada? That he killed somebody. Now there's one place where there's no need, says the Maskla David, to go through the Bezdin process. And that is in the situation of a roidef, a person who's out to kill other people. So says the Pasuk, V'yar ma'aslo b'bayis. Moshe Rabbeinu knew what this person did in the house. But Moshe Rabbeinu, hands were tied that he couldn't do anything about it because he's an ein eid nasa dayin. Moshe Rabbeinu was an eid, he could not become a dayin. But once V'yar, what he did in the field, he saw ma'aslo b'sada. Once he's a roidif, then the halacha is that he could be killed, that he could be killed without a bezdin, and the problem of ein eid nasa dayin falls away. There's a question that the Mefarshim ask. Once we've established in our shir that ein eid nasa dayin, so the question is, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever judge us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything that's happening, so he's certainly an aid. And we're learning now that ein eid nasa dayin. So the Yitef Panim, very much in line with what we've been learning, explains. Why is ein eid nasa dayin? So the simplest explanation and the straight explanation is that a dayin has to be impartial. And once you're an aid, you lose that ability to be impartial. That's when somebody else is the aid. So he can't be the dayin. But we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tzaddik v'yosher. And not only is HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzaddik v'yosher, and all of these types of considerations certainly don't influence HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If anything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always wants to do good for us and wants to try to save us. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu could be a dying. Moreover, the Medrash Shmuel explains, human beings can make mistakes. And therefore, ain aid nas a dying. A person cannot be both an aid and a dying because we need to be concerned if he's not going to make a mistake. That's only possible when we speak about human beings. But when we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where obviously there is no concern that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a mistake, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be both an aid and a dayan. We're learning now about a person having the role of an aid. And there's a very big machlokes rishonim that's applicable by every wedding. Every wedding, we have, of course, aidim at the wedding. And when we have aidim at the wedding, the question is, the Gemara often says that if you have a group of aidim, nimtza echem hem kor of apostle, and one of them is disqualified, eidusim betelim, the entire aidus becomes disqualified. So yes, at the wedding, we the Masada Kedushin, the Chassan, appoint two aidim to be who are kosher aidim, not related, not apostle, and those two individuals could be the aidim. But there are many people in the audience who are relatives to the chassan, to the kala, and therefore they are disqualified for being edim. And why is there no problem of nitzim echem hem karev apostle? So Tosfos explains that the issue of nitzim echem hem karev apostle only comes up when they actually say their edis. But until they actually say their edis, there is no problem of a karev apostle. But according to Rashbam, and it's a much more fundamental approach to Eidus, Machloikus Rashbam and Tosfos. When does an aid become an aid? According to Tosfos, an aid becomes an aid only when he's called upon to act upon his Eidus. And if he's not called upon yet to act upon his Eidus, he's not going to disqualify anything. But according to Rashbam, once the moment they become Eidim, the halacha is they become permanently disqualified. So now the question is, according to Rashbam, what do we do by a wedding where there's so many people in the audience who are relatives of the Chassan and Kala, and they're seeing what's happening, and why don't we have here a problem of Nitzah Echem Mem Karav Apostle? And therefore, to avoid this problem that the Rashbam has now indicated, what needs to be done is that at the wedding, the Masada Kedushin should say that these two individuals who are being appointed as Edim are the Edim to the exclusion of everyone else. And by saying that they are Edim to the exclusion of everyone else, now there won't be a problem because all the other people were excluded from being able to be Edim. Amalei, so says the Rava, and Hachinam Kamina, that's what I meant to say, that Ein Eid Nasadai. Says the Gemara, Itmar. We begin the Gemara, Itmar, we speak Kinyan. When we speak about a Kinyan, whether the Rishonim explain it's a healthy person who's dividing his assets, or it's a Shchimera that is giving out his assets. But as we explained in our previous year, there are two ways for a Shchimera to divide his assets. One way of the Shchimera dividing his assets is just making a statement. And the other way of a Shchimera dividing his assets is by making a kinyan. And here we're referring to a situation where the Shchimera is dividing his assets with a kinyan. There's a very big discussion in the Rishonim. When we speak about a kinyan, and we're going to be learning in the Gemara, kinyan at Amos Eichhäuser, until when can we retract the kinyan? Which kinyan are we speaking about? The Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is that we're speaking about all types of kinyanim. The Ramban and the Rashba, however, say that the kinyan that we're speaking about here is kinyan sudar, which we know is a kinyan, which is kinyan chalipin. Not only do they say that the Gemara here is limited to Kinyan Sudar, he says the Gemara, they say, quoting the Rimi Barceloni, that the Kinyan here is only by a kinyan of a shchimera. So that means we have two factors to consider, that it's a kinyan shchimera and it was a kinyan suda. And the Rosh explains that usually a kinyan is not, when is a kinyan suda used versus all other kinyanim? So the Rosh explains, a kinyan suda is anything that you just have that you could use as a kinyan. So kinyan suda is normally done by something that's done spontaneously. Since it's a kinyan that's done by something spontaneously, we want to give the people a chance to retract. But all other kinyanim are done with proper preparation and designation, and therefore there's no room for changing your mind. Another explanation that the Rishonim give, that why are we speaking only by kinyan suda, because the way it normally works with a kinyan, what's a kinyan kesef? That's probably the other most type of kinyan. So by kinyan kesef, I don't have to, according to the mechanics of a kinyan kesef, do not require that I give all of the money, all the entire payment. A down payment is adequate to make a kinyan kesef, but even when a kinyan kesef, a down payment is adequate, still the halacha is just you gave something, you gave him something, and therefore, if you gave him something, it's not, it shows a seriousness of intent. But when you do a kinyan chalipin, you're not giving him something; you're just picking up whatever you do in the kinyan chalipin, and then the person takes back his pen, his handkerchief. And therefore, since nothing was given from the buyer to the seller in a permanent fashion, that's why it's a weaker type of kinyan where retraction is more possible. Another pshat that I saw is that by many kinyanim, when we do a kinyan, the kinyan is done in the actual object that's being transferred from the seller to the buyer. Hagbah, Mesira, all these kinyanim that we spend so much time learning about are all kinyanim in the actual kinyan chazakah. They're all kinyanim in the actual object that's being sold. But when we speak about a kinyan suder, it's not in the actual object that's being sold. It has nothing to do with that actual object. And therefore, the halacha is that kinyan suder is a weaker kinyan. That's why the Gemara says, that's why those Rishonim explain, only by a kinyan suder is there a discussion about retraction. So says the Gemara, Admasai Chayzer, until when can you retract? Rava Amar Kozman Shiyoshvin. Even as long as they're sitting at the same sitting, even then you could go back and retract. Rav Yosef is stricter. You only can retract Kozman Shaiskin by Sinyan, as long as they're working with this actual transaction. But if they finished anything that has to do with this transaction, even though it's still in the same place that they began with, it's too late to retract. Om Rav Yosef, to which Rav Yosef comments, Kavasida di Mistabra. My opinion is the right opinion. Dom Rav Yehuda, Shloisha, we learned the previous Gemara. Three people that came to visit a person that is ill, as we kept explaining. We're talking about a shchimera that makes a kinyan. Rotsu, they could, if they want to play the role of Edim, Kaisim. Rotsu, if they want, again, as long as this took place by day, Isim, then they could be Dayonim. Says the Gemara, V'sakadatach, if Rabbi is correct, says Rabbi Yosef, the Kozman Shiyoshim, as long as these people who are making this transaction are still where they started, they can retract. So why should we not be concerned? Lechshta Mahadabe, maybe the Dayanim, the Edim, left, they saw the transaction, and whatever role they're going to play, they're playing the role of Edim, and they're going to come to Besdin and say testimony that this is what happened. But maybe what happened here was that there was a retraction. They just weren't there anymore for the time of the retraction. So it must be that their only ability for retraction is as long as they're involved in this case. And presumably when the Edom leave, the what's at hand, they're finished with. Amar Rav Ashi, to which Rav Ashi comments, Al mita l'shmatzka made Rav Kahana. I said this aloch over to Rav Kahana, ula Rav Yosef, and I said Rav Yosef minichab. Why not be concerned? Even Rav Yosef agrees that as long as they are still working on that subject, they could retract. So maybe these people saw what they saw, are prepared to play the role of Edom. The people who are involved in the transaction are still busy with the transaction, but they left and they may be retracted. El Ma'as L'Chmeimer, how must we understand this Gemara? The Saliku Me'inyo L'Nyana. It must be that these people who are acting as Edom were there long enough to see that they stopped, according to Rabbi Yosef, dealing with this issue. They went on to a different issue where, according to Rabbi Yosef, they can no longer retract. Says the Gemara, Kachinami, so we're going to follow the opinion of Rabbah, will also say the Kam of Ahad Yosivu, that they left, and says that since they left, they didn't, the Edom, or the people who are serving as Edom, did not leave until they're certain that these people are finished. And therefore the halacha will be that's why this is not a problem with the halachas that we've been talking about. But, says the Gemara, Vilchus Kavaseder of Yosef, the halachas of Rabbi Yosef, three halachas. Besada, we go back to a Gemara that we discussed on the Yud Beis Amud Beis, where somebody bought a property right on the edge of his father's property. And then his father, Rahman Slan, passed away, and they're dividing the Yerusha, and the person who owns a property next to his father's property says, since this piece of property, we're all getting property from our father, I want to get this piece of property because it makes most sense, because it's right next to the other properties. So the way I remember the Gemara is if all things are equal, he has a claim. But if this property is worth more, and he doesn't want to recognize that, and he's not willing to deal with it according to that, then the halach is he has no claim on that property. Inyan, that's the subject that we're learning now, that how long could you retract? Kozman sha'oiskin ba'oise inyan, or mechtsa. This goes to a Gemara, later in Amasech, on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amar Aleph, where a husband said to a wife, Nichse yul ach misasi l'cha uvanecha. My assets, after I pass away, should be to me and to your son, and to you and l'vanecha. And there are many sons. And we don't say that what it means is l'cha uvanecha means that everybody will get an equal share. But rather what it means is that the wife is going to get 50% of the assets, and the children will get 50% of the assets. So Rashbam says later in the Masechta Daf Kuf Mem Gimel that the three halachas, the Gemara just said, the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef. What the Gemara is trying to point out, says the Rashbam, that even though normally when we have a machlokes, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, the halacha is like Rabba, these three halachas are the exception. And these three halachas, that the halacha is like Reb Yosef. But Tosfos in Masechta Gittin actually says that always the halacha is like, the question is that in this Masechta and all Masechtas? So Rashbam is not clear, but Tosfos says that this is a rule for all of Shas. We always follow the opinion of Rabbah, except for these three cases. So we learned in the Mishnah Ishas Benah, Vaishas Bala, Vachi Aim, all these types of situations, a wife, a mother, are people who give Yerusha to their son, to the husband, but don't Yarshin from the son and the husband. So ask the Gemara, Hasu Lamali, why was it necessary for the Mishnah to tell us this halacha? Hatanalei Reisha, haven't we learned this halacha? Ishas Imai, Vaishas Ishtai, that we learned, Noichlim V'loi Mechilim. So we hear from, we see very clearly that they receive Yerusha from their father, from their husband, but they don't give Yerusha. but they give Yerusha, but they don't receive Reshin. Answers the Gemara, Hakamashman. What the Mishnah wants to teach us with this halacha is Isha Spino, the case of a woman and her son, Dumid Isha Spala. What does that mean? My Isha Spala. When we speak about a husband and a wife, the halacha is Ein Ish Bal Yerushas Ishta Bekever. That means if the wife was alive and she had assets and then she died, those assets go to the husband upon her death. But let's say the wife passed away, no assets, and then the husband is alive still, and then the wife becomes the Yerush of assets, meaning her father dies after her. Her father had no other children other than her, and she is the Yerush of her father. So there the halacha will be that she is the Yerush, and she's not here. So even though her husband is still here, and we're learning, and her husband is the Yerush of a wife, not when she's no longer alive. Ain't about Yerush Ishta Bekever. Af Ishas Bino, what does that mean? Ain't a ben Yerush Ishta Bekever, Lahanchel Lachim and Av. It means as follows. There was a woman who was married to a man, and they had a son. This man had other sons. So this son is a paternal brother with the other people. And we know that, and we're good to speak about this in our shiurim, that under certain circumstances, paternal brothers are Yarshim. This woman died, and her son is her Yairish. So now, her son is her Yairish, and when he dies, the assets that he got from his mother, that has no relationship to these brothers, they are not entitled to those assets. You know, woman will not, paternal brothers cannot end up getting the Yerusha of a mother of one of their, cannot end up getting the Yerusha of one of the brothers. And the way to understand this Gemara, about the husband particularly, is as we keep on saying in our shiurim, the husband's ability to yarshin a wife is not from the normal Hilchas Yerusha. When we normally speak about Hilchas Yerusha, what Hilchas Yerusha represent is that a relative, and the closer the relative, to we say often a karav kaidim, the closer the relative, the more he is a Yairish. But that's only when it's because of being a relative. A husband is not a Yairish because he's a relative. And because a husband is not a relative, it's a special new din in a husband-wife relationship. That's only as long as they're married. But if the wife predeceased the Yerusha, that special relationship doesn't exist. What about why if her son gets the Yerusha, and the closest relatives that he has when he passes away, the son, are his paternal brothers, are they not entitled to this Yerusha? The explanation that the Mefarshim give is a concept that we've learned over and over again. And that is, there's a concern about hasava, snachla. We want to limit how much Yerusha and pieces of property end up going from one shevet to another shevet. And therefore, it's bad enough if the son is hayyirish, and as we discussed in our previous shiurim, it's very possible the son is not from the same shevet, but his paternal brothers, therefore, are certainly not in that category. And because the Torah was so concerned about havaras nachla, so even though that it does happen, and sometimes it's unavoidable, the Gemara is teaching us it's limited to the greatest extent possible.